This is Matt Connickson. I'm the sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHX Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Tyler Donaldson along with Randy Conan and Jamie Dickerman. The USDA is sending out emergency livestock relief program payments ahead of schedule to ranchers impacted by drought or wildfires in 2023 and 2024. Ag Secretary Brooke Rowland says the department is using existing disaster data to speed up the process. Livestock producers with an approved application on file for the Livestock Forage Disaster Program will automatically receive payments. This round of funding is part of the American Relief Act of 2025. Additional assistance, including for flood-related losses, will be announced later this summer.
$1 billion in disaster relief for livestock producers impacted by wildfires has been released. North Dakota Senator John Hoeven praising Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins for getting this assistance out in a timely manner.
We worked to secure this emergency assistance for our ranchers who suffered not only drought but wildfires last year that even killed a couple people here in North Dakota as well as cattle. So this will help with those losses, not only for our North Dakota ranchers, but across the country.
North Dakota Stockmen's Association Executive Director Julie Ellingson says programs like ELRP vital for keeping farms afloat during tough times.
ELAP is, what I know of it, is it's pretty overarching. It's one of the trios of kind of the permanent disaster programs that are available for livestock producers. And while we never want to use those programs, nice to have that framework in place so you're not relying on ad hoc type of program. And so it covers lots of different areas where, you know, LIP is livestock losses, animal losses, and LFP is related to drought-related forage losses. This one can cover stuff, if you will, as well as feed losses and those types of things. So this probably is the broadest in my view.
Producers looking to recoup losses should reach out to their county FSA office.
Yep, their county farm service agency office would be their first point of contact to determine eligibility and requirements related to the program. And of course, they've got an array of resources available on their website about particular programs and dates and such if they want to do a preview before those conversations. But those county offices are great resources to answer questions and steer people in the right direction if it's applicable to them or not.
More information can be found at fsa.usda.gov.
Spring brought a wide mix of weather, with unusually wet conditions from the southeastern plains to the Ohio Valley, while parts of the western U.S. and Canada's central prairies stayed dry. According to World Weather Incorporated, the U.S. should see a warmer-than-normal summer, with high humidity limiting extreme heat. Drier conditions are likely in the Delta, the Tennessee River Basin, the northeastern U.S., and parts of the Central Plains. Monsoon rains will help the southwest by July, and tropical activity could bring rain to the Gulf and Atlantic coasts.
Warmer weather expected throughout much of the Midwest and central U.S. next week. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says this should help dry crop fields and be conducive to more field work for farmers.
In the west, the warmth will shift eastward, and it looks like finally a break from the cool conditions that have plagued much of the central and eastern United States in recent days. That should be fantastic with all the moisture that we've had in those areas and then warmer weather. Things are really going to pop. We should see rapid emergence and development of spring sown crops like corn and soybeans, and then that should open up some more opportunities for field work, getting some of that late planting done. And it should also help with rangeland and pasture growth as well as winter wheat development.
The warmer trend should give a boost to agriculture throughout the region.
The warmer weather in the central and eastern U.S. will be a good thing. It's not going to be hot, just warm, 80s to low 90s for the most part, in a lot of our crop production areas of the plains and Midwest. So I think the changes there will be good, positive overall for agriculture.
The wet weather pattern continued to improve drought conditions across the northeast and the central and southern Great Plains, while short-term drought expanded across portions of southwest Iowa, northern Illinois, and northwest Indiana. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor says 1 to 2 inch rains led to a 1-category improvement from Minnesota to southeast Wisconsin and portions of South Dakota, Nebraska, Kansas, and northeast Colorado. Dryness and drought conditions were unchanged for northern Minnesota and North Dakota.
NDSU Extension entomologist Mark Botel says the early heat has evened out the peak fly for sugar beet root maggot.
That heat wave there in mid-May, and that got things going pretty good. And we'll see how the root maggot fly, or, you know, the insects actually respond to that. But at least given, or according to the degree day accumulations that we've got right now, we're looking at somewhere around June 6th throughout the valley. Usually we have kind of a latitudinal difference, you know, where we're a little ahead on degree day units in the Sabin, Baker, Moorhead, Glendon area.
Botel expects peak fly around June 6th across the entire valley.
Okay. So that's certainly give or take a couple of days based on when we have a nice, the optimal day, I guess you'd say, for peak fly temperature-wise is around 80 degrees and slightly warmer. But if we have windy conditions, then certainly that can change things a little bit. Or if a system brings some rain or cooler weather, then that may alter that a little bit. But if things track according to the extended forecast, we're looking at that the end of that first week of June.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture taking steps to prevent the spread of invasive New World screwworm. Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins says its potential impact could be devastating.
The NWS is a scourge that is making its way from Latin America up through Mexico. And if it hits America, it is going to be absolutely devastating to our cattle industry at the top of the list, frankly, to a lot of our industries.
In response, USDA is partnering with Mexico to expand a sterile insect production facility expected to generate up to 100 million screwworm flies per week for eradication efforts. This method, already in use in Panama, helps control the population by releasing sterile flies. USDA has also placed restrictions on Mexican live cattle imports, with the suspension reevaluated every 30 days. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. Planting is wrapped up in Norman County, Minnesota, and Ada area farmer John Brainerd says conditions finally turned a corner after a difficult spring.
Yeah, I think things are finally, the weather's finally calmed down a little bit here. We kind of got some normal weather here. We're in 70s today. It's going to be good growing conditions. We did finish planting our crop here last week. We ended up reseeding one quarter of sugar beets. That just, the emergence just wasn't very good, so we ended up reseeding that, but I think we're in pretty good shape right now. We're got a good moisture, and now we're going to get some heat this week, and that's what the crop needs.
Cool, wet conditions earlier this spring led to emergence issues for sugar beets across the area.
We're looking at counts in the 70s and 80s, and, you know, 120 or so is kind of where we draw the line. So we were under what we wanted, so we ended up reseeding that one quarter anyway. The other ones, they're okay. They're not great, but it's just more of a function of the weather that we had this spring that caused the populations to be down a little bit, but I think we'll be fine.
Farmers near Wimbledon, North Dakota are making planting progress, but spring conditions have brought mixed results. Mike Clemens says soybean planting is going well, but early corn stands are a disappointment.
The beans are going in, looking really good. We're making great progress. Everybody's just hammering those in, but everybody's still sick about their corn. All froze off, that was up, and of course, in the cold, wet weather we had, it didn't really help it at all. The wheat fields look really good in the area, and the barley fields look good in the area.
Despite the setback, Clemens says farmers are unlikely to replant corn since they're now focused on getting the rest of the crop in the ground.
For plant is very minimal here. I mean, man, I can think of several others we had 10, 30% prevent plant, and this year, I don't think we're going to have maybe 1%, you know. It's really, really pretty under control this year, you know, with the moisture soaking in.
Extension sugar beet pathologist Eric Branch is advising sugar beet growers to be aware of fungal and soil-borne diseases as the temperatures warm up.
You know, there's been a few issues, kind of spotty, around the valley here, Red River Valley in North Dakota and Minnesota, and you know, I haven't had too many disease concerns yet. It helped that it was fairly dry earlier in the season, but we've had that shot of rain, so of course the risk for those soil-borne pathogens increases. And if there's any reduced stand, we're seeing some crusting and some abiotic issues as well, and some insects springtail damage, but again, typically spotty.
Branches know what is causing those stand losses.
It's important to know the cause of the disease, or cause of the stand loss, right? Whether it's disease, either Rhizoctonia, Fusarium, or Phantomyces, and that knowledge, you know, can help in future years in terms of applying the right product in furrow or you know, selecting tolerant varieties for a particular pathogen. And of course, knowing when to replant too, if there is a possibility for and the unfortunate situation that you have to kind of restart following you know, stand loss from wind or crusting or something like that.
When labor shortages in agriculture come up, livestock producers say they need help too, especially in meat and poultry plants where they can't use the H-2A program. Meat Institute President and CEO Juliana Potts says expanding access to that program would make a big difference.
If we could improve H-2A, and we've long argued that we would like to be part of H-2A in the meat and poultry processing sector, that would help a lot in alleviating across the harvest part of meat and poultry production what we could do to enhance our labor force.
Potts says labor shortages hit hard during COVID, cutting productivity by as much as half in some plants. Automation, one option, but that won't fix everything.
But that takes capital. And as you know, the market for beef and pork, a little bit in chicken, has not been as strong as it was before and during the pandemic. So I think you saw maybe a bit of a slowdown on some of those investments. They will continue, but it is not going to solve the problem comprehensively. We need immigration reform. We need a steady, stable, legal workforce. And no amount of automation is going to take that place. People working in our plants will be repurposed. They won't lose their jobs because of automation.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The fate of the Farm Bill improvements now rests on what President Trump has called his big, beautiful bill. Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley says while the House has already moved forward, the Senate is still developing its version.
Going to have what you'd call a Senate bill separately, and it's not been developed yet, and we would add the Senate amendment in place of the House bill. Will there be a lot of differences? I don't think on the basic tax provisions there will be. I haven't studied the extent to which the Farm Bill provisions ought to be changed or not. I think more along the lines of what we do in the Farm Bill provisions. Does it weaken the chance of getting the rest of the five-year Farm Bill done?
Grassley says the Senate may make adjustments, but likely won't be getting rid of the estate tax.
We've got bigger tax issues than doing away with the estate tax, considering the fact that the House enhanced the very much even where the estate tax is right now. So it's not a question of doing the tax bill cut in half. It's not even the same as leaving it where it is right now by re-upping the 2017 tax bill. The House has improved it, and I think we should be satisfied with that improvement.
July wheat Minneapolis at 6.14 even, up 10 and 3 quarters. July wheat Chicago up 2.5 cents, 5.32 and 3 quarters. Kansas City July hard red winter wheat's up 5 and a quarter, 5.30 and a half. July corn down 4 and 3 quarters at 4.46 and a quarter. July soybeans up 1 and a half to 10.50 even. In Winnipeg, July canola's up $1.40 per metric ton, 7.17.30 Canadian. June live cattle up 157 to 1550. August live cattle up $1.92. October up 207. August feeders up 427 at 299.90. September up 437. October up 430. And June lean hogs down 35 cents at 99.92. July lean hogs down 37 cents. August lean hogs down 17 cents. Reporting Agriculture's Business, you're listening to the Red River Farm Network.